Peli Yoetz. We'll take a look at Zechira, which you'll find on page 169 in this publication, and he says Zechira hi klal gadol batorah. Now he has an erech here called Zechira. We're going to skip that for now. Maybe we'll go back to it. That's on page 169. But the one I wanted to do is called Zichronos. Okay. Let's see if you can find that one. It's probably on the second page. If you give me the I don't even have a copy myself, so I'll take one copy from you.
Yeah,
each.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, the two different pages. So give me one of each page.
Oh, I see. I see. All right, gotcha. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
so
Grashi
is
yes. Yeah, it's page Kuf Tzadi Gimel.
Right.
Matovu Manoim Lichtov Zikar Lecholdov. So the concept here is memories, but really he doesn't mean memories as much as he means reminders. I think that would be a more accurate translation. And people, he says, forget things, and therefore it's very important that they record them as reminders. Again, it doesn't have to be necessarily a letter to yourself or a note to yourself. It could sometimes be a symbol that you. He's going to give some examples.
Okay.
And he says this applies bein lemili de alma, bein lemili de shmaya. Whether we're talking about simply remembering, you know, to take care of something that you have to take care of, it has nothing to do necessarily with being a pious religious Jew, or it's mili de shmaya, it belongs to the heavens, meaning it's something spiritual. Mm-hmm. But me'acher, since the shikha mitsuya, it's very common, especially for older people, right? They forget things. Misa shikha means, you know, when he gets older, is tov like ever. It's a good idea, a very, very important recommendation. She yershom b'chsav, that, again, he's going to give other examples too, but at this point he's talking about writing down on paper. Mm-hmm. Kol asher pa'al va'asa, what has he done until now? V'chol asher nasa v'natan, let's see, add different business transactions and the like. And to record kol shechayavim lo, it means other people owe him money because he wants to make sure he remembers that he has to collect this money. V'chol shechayav l'acherim, and any monies that he owes to other people. And I feel miyom liyom, even from one day to the next, some people wait till the end of the week. He says, no, don't wait till the end of the week. Do it on a daily basis. Lo yis atzel, right? Atzel is miloshen laziness. He shouldn't be lazy. Milch tov zikaron. Right? Sometimes we, you know, who wants to sit there with my diary and record everything? Yeah. I'll take care of it some other time. He says, don't procrastinate. So it's really fascinating to me that this great Baal Musar would write about a topic that's, in a certain sense, so mundane, yeah, you know, yeah. Something that you and I would almost intuitively say, but he feels that it's very important when you're disciplining yourself and you're organizing your life in a way that it should be a moral, ethical life, mm-hmm. Then you record things. First of all, you have to record things that people owe you so that you know that you can claim that they owe you that money. You won't, sure. You won't, you know, make up stories. You'll see it's written in your handwriting. And secondly, if you owe other people money.
We see in Sanhedrin all the time, and by judging. You come with a star, you come with evidence, or you didn't.
Correct.
If you don't have this, what do you have? If you don't have clarity about what your proceedings are, what do you have here?
There's a whole thing in Ksubas about witnesses who are afraid they might forget what they saw and all the details, so they write themselves a note. But again, it's only valid if they look into the note and then they remember. There's mm-hmm. the writing, it has to be
a
conduit to jog your memory. It's a means to an end. Mm-hmm. If they don't remember, they can't just come into Beis Din and read what they wrote. That's not going to be valid. He says, V'chein, so too al kol davar sheyesh alav lasot, he knows he has to take care of something, oladaber, or he has to speak to someone about something, zikaron yaseh, make sure he makes himself some sort of memory device. He says, Anina Hagti. Now this is very interesting. He writes about himself that he's very often afraid that if he drinks something, he won't remember to make a borin of fashos. So he says, "Ani shoseh mayim kodem akaveh." Before I drink coffee, I drink water. And milsa d'shchicha, for me, it's very common. L'shkoach, I forget berkas borin of fashos. So what do? Take of achar shtiyas hamayim. Now I think he's implying the following, if I'm not mistaken. Again, this is just my guess. That when he fills up a cup with water, he drinks the cup straight down. It's not boiling hot. But the coffee is boiling hot. So the coffee itself does not require a borei nefashos. Because you only make a borei nefashos when you drink something continuously. But if it's too hot and you take very small gulps, then you don't make a bracha. So here he's afraid that when he finishes his coffee, he's not going to remember that before he drank the coffee, he drank something like water that requires him to make a bar nefashos. So what does he do? Before he drinks the coffee, take a vachar shtiyah samayim, ani mahapech hachosem shali lachorei ha'etzpa. Now he's got some sort of a signet ring, which he uses as a seal. You know, he probably dips it into some ink pad, and then he makes an imprint on a page. So what he does is he takes this ring and he turns it the other way around. Oli etzpa acher, if he takes it off one finger, puts it on a different finger. When we told kachani zocher, that's how I remind myself that I drank water before I drank the coffee, so I have to make more nefashos on the water.
He makes a siman for
him. V'chein l'chol dovash lizkar, anything that I have to remember, zedar ki, I always find a way of creating a reminder to myself. Everybody has to come up with his own creative ideas that fits him as an individual, simon, to make a simon. So he won't forget to fulfill anything that he's required to do, meaning it's maybe in the secular department, it's not sacred, it's mundane. Bein de mitzvah, how much more so if it's a mitzvah. And it's very important that he remembers everything. Now, I'm fast-forwarding to the next paragraph. He says, V'chein tov v'yafeh lichtob zichronos b'kitzah adinim ha'nitzrochim she'enim boki b'hem. He says there are a lot of laws that come up, the relevant questions that come up in halacha quite frequently. But he doesn't necessarily remember what to do in those cases. So he says the first time he learns the law, he should write himself a note. He'll give an example. He says, "V'kama me'abusha magil osam balabat shukol shor v'stap ki v'sholim v'tzoch lo v'shechiyar miyom v'tzoch shek shogolit." He says it's quite common that people don't remember the answer to the following question. Do we recite Shechiyonu on Yontif Sheni Shel Golias? You know, you've already recited Shechiyonu on the first day, on the Yontif. Now you're making Kiddush on the second day. And it's very confusing. For example, when you make Kiddush on the seventh day of Pesach, you don't say Shechiyonu. And in the case of Rosh Hashanah, you do say Shechiyonu on the second day. So you get sort of confused. So he says, since this question is going to come up very frequently, he should make sure when he finds the answer to the question to write himself a note. You know, my position here is it's very easy to write notes. The problem is how to find those notes. You know, do you remember where you put them and how to classify them, you know, in the right drawers and the right containers? He says, V'chein lo yeda dinim ha-shayochim v'nitzrochim b'tfila shmona esrei. For example, very often when a person prays shmona esrei, he makes a mistake. And he always has to know what's the law of the mistake. Does he have to go back on the mistake? Does he have to repeat Shmon Esrei? Where was the mistake? And so on and so on. When he learns these dinim, and there are sfeikos, there are doubts upon doubts, b'dvar manogim yizman yizman, and it becomes relevant on a regular basis, tov leger, it's a very good idea. Shekshish al pam achas, the first time he asks this question, v'yagidulo, and they give him an answer, yirshom, he should write it down, b'ksav, on a written document, v'yeda esa shayasa, so that when the question comes up, he'll know the answer. V'lo yikolim, he won't be humiliated and embarrassed to have to ask the question time after time after time. And not only that, v'lo yikoshel, and he won't make any errors because he'll always refer back to his writing. Now, it could be that what the Pelyotz is advocating is not only that it'll be it'll be written there when he forgets. But moreover, the very fact that he writes it will prevent him from forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you write something, you remember it. So that's what he says. And here, he refers you back to another essay that he wrote. Now you rise. And that's the essay which is called Zechira. So I'll just read to you quickly what he says under Zechira. And he says the following, that there are so many challenges in life. He calls them lihishomer. We have to be very careful, lizoyer, to protect us as we call dovara from all sorts of isurim, whether it's in Doraisis or Dorabonans and called in Duke and so forth and so on. So he writes that it's very, very important that he should remember constantly that he's standing in front of Hashem, and he should always be uplifted and aroused to feel Yira and Ava, fear and love of God. So this is a concept called Zechira, remembering. And the opening line of the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Samin.
16, isn't it? Tehillim 16. Shivisi Hashem.
I thought it was... You're right. It's 16. I thought it was 15. You're right. 16. Do you remember which verse? Verse 8. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so what is the point here of the Ramah opening his opening comment? He says the biggest fear and the biggest challenge that we have is that we forget. What does it mean we forget? We forget that we're standing in front of the Almighty, that He's always there with us. So therefore, if he wants to remember to avoid any averus, any pitfalls, he needs this memory device. For example, he's eating, or he's talking, he's discussing, and there's always a problem. Maybe he'll eat the wrong foods, or he'll eat what's called an achila gasa. Maybe he'll get involved in sicha betela. He'll speak about the wrong things, like lashon hara, and so forth and so on. So he needs to constantly remind himself that he's standing in the presence of God. That's more or less the main punchline of this essay called Zechira. So now we'll go back to our study, which is called Zichronos. And he says the following, that V'yesh asara zichronos shana mitzuvim aleim lezocha b'chol yom. There are 10 things that we're required to remember on a daily basis. V'nichtav b'sefer sidur tefilos chodesh b'chodsho. There's a book called Seder Tefillah, and every month he tells you these are the 10 things that you have to remember. And mi ha'ish echafitz b'mitzvos lo yavar milizkar b'peh. Somebody who wants to fulfill mitzvos, he should make sure that these zechiros should be expressed verbally. He should not rely on machshava just to think them. And as a result of reciting them verbally, orally, al yishkach b'lev, they'll never be forgotten from his heart. So this is sort of like a training session in which you condition yourself to remember something by repeating it over and over again. He says, ha'ikar toli lishtadel, do you have the place? Lishtadel ulahasig hato'elas hanimshach mizchirosam. In other words, it's not enough just to remember them, but you have to understand what's the agenda, what's the purpose and the goal of remembering them. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just command you to remember something unless there's a purpose. So what is the purpose of remembering? And we're going to go through these 10 zechiros, and in each case we'll try to define what the goal of remembering is. In Yizkar Belisim Lev Ma'pal V'asa, if he's just going to remember what happened without remembering Mapal, Paul is what we call in Yiddish Uftu, you know, it's what you accomplish by doing something. If Hashem, let's say, took us out of Mitzrayim, and we have to remember that, well, what was God's intention? What did he accomplish by taking us out of Mitzrayim? If, for example, we have to remember the story of Miriam, as we'll soon see, that she had tzaras, well, what's the purpose of the tzaras? What Mapal V'asa, what did it accomplish? That's what we have to try to remember. And therefore, Yiteg Lev v'yishtadal lishmar ulekayim. This is going to be a constant reminder, and through the reminder, we're going to fulfill a great mitzvah. For example, in the case of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, what do we gain? What's our ultimate goal of remembering the great Exodus? Yizkor it's Rav Tuvo. It's all in order to bring in, to engender with us a sense of gratitude. How great was the goodness of God that He bestowed upon the people of Israel, that He took them out of slavery. Number two, Ve'avaso. This is meant to engender our love. God took us out of Egypt. He loves us. We have to love Him. V'chemloso. And God has such compassion on us that we were goy b'kerev of goy. We were completely subjugated to the Mitzrim. And nevertheless, He took us out. This is a great chemla, a great compassion that God had on us. Not only that, v'otzem yecholto. This also teaches us God's omnipotence, His ultimate power. Sheshider marachos, He changed all of nature. And that's, of course, the Esarakas, and finally, Kriyas Yamsuf. And all this is what we have to remember. So the first Zechira on his list of 10 is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to remember that God took us out of slavery in order that we should be slaves to Hashem. So God, in a sense, gives us a transition or a replacement in which the Avdus Hashem replaces substitutes for the original Avdus Taparo. And that's what's incorporated into Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now there's a great debate about how many times a person has to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in the course of a day. It's either once or twice. So the Chachamim say once is enough, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, but it says in the pasuk, "Kol yimei chayecha." What's the extra call? And the Chacham answered that Kol Yimei Chayech is Lahavi Limos HaMashiach, that even after the great miracles of the ultimate redemption, we still have to remember Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has a different point, and Ben Zoma also came to this conclusion, and that is that the extra call is telling me that it's not enough to remember Mitzrayim once a day, you have to remember it twice a day, once at night and once during the day. Then we have Zechiras Shabbos. Zechiras Shabbos means that during the course of the week, we have to remember the Shabbos. We have to already anticipate the Shabbos. So therefore, if you have something, let's say tasty, some special meat, put it aside for Shabbos. And every day you count the day. This is the Rishon of the Shabbos, Sheni of the Shabbos, Shlishi of the Shabbos. You're counting down to Shabbos. This is the way we remind ourselves about Shabbos on a daily basis. What's the ultimate goal? Well, first and foremost, to remember that God created the world in 6 days. But number two, we have to remember the great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers on Israel, that with this Chiba Yisera, He gave us this great gift of a day of Menucha. Not, the other nations of the world were not given Shabbos. Right? Shabbos is the exclusive gift of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, when we remember the Shabbos during the week, basically what we're doing is we're incorporating into our very psyche the Chiba, the appreciation of the great love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. He's saying, I can't even express in words the great gift of Shabbos and its immense significance. Right? Chazal say that if God gave us only the Shabbos, that would be enough. And if we observe the Shabbos maybe twice, it'll bring about the Mashiach. We have every week a Neshama Yisera, and this is Shabbos. Shabbos gives us a certain clarity of vision. It allows us to recharge our batteries on a spiritual level. So this is all part of remembering the Shabbos. Number three, Zechiras Haman. We have to remember the man that came down to support our forefathers in the 40 years in the Midbar. And what's the ultimate goal of remembering the man? Zechira, ki hu anose nakol. The man is just an example, but it's really a paradigmic example to remember that everything comes from God. In the case of the man, it was obvious that their food, their sustenance came from God. But we have to understand that even today, all our sustenance, all our food comes from Almighty God. Therefore, yitein alibo ki hu anosin koach lasos chayil. That all our energy comes from Hashem. Venosin lechem l'chol bosel l'fiataf. That God guarantees that there'll be lechem for everyone. L'fiataf means if we calculate the various members of the household. V'amara b'schora. And you might think, well, you know what? I added extra hours to my work, and therefore I jacked up my income, and you know, it's my doing. If I have extra money in the bank, it's because I took on extra. Oh no! Let's go back to the man. The man, no matter how much you did and how much effort and how much you wanted to grab of the man, you ended up with the exact same amount. Even if you want to give extra hours, it doesn't necessarily mean that you guarantee that you make more money. And even if you work less hours, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be left with less money. In other words, all is yigia. I remember when I taught a student and he was studying law. And he was putting an enormous amount of time into studying law, to the point to which he wasn't taking care of anything else in his life. So I said to him, my high, he says, I have to make the dean's list. You know, if you get the dean's list, then it... So then when he finished law school, he admitted to me that he was working 80 hours a week. So I said to him, you're already a lawyer. Why do you have to work 80 hours a week? You know, there are other things important in life. Maybe learn some Torah, he said. So he said that he wants to make partner, you know, in the law firm. So there's always another goal, and you can add extra hours. That ain't so. There's no finite limitation to how many hours. So the Pelioitz is recommending that we realize from the man that everything comes from Shemayim anyway. So you can make another $100,000 a year, but the question is what's going to be with that money? You might have to spend it on orthodontry, you know, dental work. You know, dental work today is enormous. You know, if you have to have an implant or something, it can cost you $35,000 easy. So, okay, you made the extra money, but in the calculation of things, it doesn't mean that you have more money to spend. You may have more money to spend because you're going to lose more money on this, that, and the other thing. So the idea of remembering the mind gives us a perspective of truth, that everything ultimately comes down to relying on Hashem. He's going to decide whether you're wealthy or whether you're not wealthy. So we have now Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means that we have to understand that we are avodim to Hashem. We have to express our gratitude and constantly feel a sense of, wow, look what God did for us. Number two, we have Zechiras Shabbos, which means that God is the creator of the world, but not only that, God has a tremendous love for the people of Israel. We have Zechiras Haman, which is meant to give us a focus on where our bread is buttered from. It's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Nosein Koach. And number four, we have Zechiras Ma'aseh Amalek. Now, once again, Amalek came to attack us when we came out of Mitzrayim. Why, and what's the goal here? Why is it so important on a daily basis to remember Amalek? Yitein Elibo Tsar HaShamayim. Unbelievable. This is a radical position of the Pelioites, that we have to commensurate, or shall we say, empathize with God's Tsar. It's very difficult to speak in such human terms about Almighty God, that God is in a state of Tsar. What's the source for this idea that God is in the state of Tsar because Amalek is flying high? Ein Hashem Shalom Ve'en Kisei Hashalom. In the pasuk it says Ki Ka Yud Ke Al Kes Ka Milchama L'Hashem Amalek L'Dor Dor. So the Chazal say that why is the name of God written as Yud Ke? That's only half of His name. And Chazal say that God, so to speak, is in a state of incompletion because of Amalek. V'yitein Lev Lashu L'Taki Maisa. Now we have to look at Amalek. We have to see what is evil about Amalek. And we have to avoid those kind of pitfalls. So that Amalek has both a divine element to it, in which we identify with Hashem's Tsar, and it has an ethical element in that it commands us to correct the failures and the imperfection of Amalek. What is Amalek guilty of? So the number of ways of answering that question. One way is that Amalek is pure apikarsis. It's just a denial of God. So if that be the case, the more we believe in God, as we said before in Zechira, that you have to remember that God is there all the time, we are actually rectifying Amalek. The second problem with Amalek is even if you accept God, Amalek says, but what happens in your life is not a result of divine providence, it's more or less coincidence. Number three, Amalek represents the epitome of evil because they want to destroy the Jewish people. So anything we do to strengthen the Jewish people is actually a tikkun against Amalek. Now let's say, again, I shouldn't say this out loud, but let's say the Iranians are developing very quickly the atom bomb. And let's say their first target is going to be yours truly. I mean, this is what they... And they say it out loud. I mean, maybe their second target is the United States, but it's all the same. And if we could do something to slow down that process, you know, in the case of Iraq, we knew what to do. I don't know what to do in the case of Iran. It's much more complicated.
It's late in the day also.
And it's late, and we don't have that much time. The clock is ticking. They're developing uranium. They're doing all sorts of tests. There are different, what do you call this? The secret knowledge. What's it called? When you want to know knowledge about what's going on in another country, like spies, I don't know, espionage, whatever it is. So the different assessments of how long it will take them till they get the atom bomb. Now, I'm not sure, but if Chas V'Shalom they get to the point where they have nuclear weapons, I don't know what Israel could do at that point. You know, that, I don't know. So I'm sure there's somebody up there, I would say in the Prime Minister's office, I don't know if there is such an office today, who's making these decisions. But Hashem, of course, is controlling the whole scene. But we have to do whatever we can to protect the Jewish people against Amalek. Amalek is now reigning supreme in many, many different countries, not just Arabic countries. And, you know, this is something that we have to think about on a daily basis. That, number one, how can we perfect ourselves morally and ethically in order to combat against Amalek? And number two, what can we do in terms of security and protection to stave off the Amalekians who are fighting us all over the place? I don't have to tell you about this. Some, I hope it's not a serious possibility, but there's some possibility that the British will elect somebody as Prime Minister who is absolutely anti-Israel. He's in favor of terrorism, if Chas V'Shalom that happens. So this is the precarious situation of Amalek that we find ourselves in. Now we get to some more exciting, positive Zechiros, you know, for leaving out Amalek. Number one, Zechiros Yushalayim. Right? The Pasuk says, I'll always remember Yushalayim. What's the purpose and the goal of remembering Yushalayim? He says, Zachar Yizkar Umerirus Ye'anach V'yishpoch Sicha Lidrosh Slicha. He says very poetically that Yerushalayim is not yet rebuilt. We have to constantly remember with a certain bitterness in our heart that we wait and we long and we pray for the complete restoration and rebuilding of Yerushalayim. We pray for that three times a day. And we should constantly pour out our hearts. And we should ask Hashem to give us opportunities and strength to do tshuva, to achieve slicha mechila, and as a result, bring about... So ask not what Yerushalayim can do for you, ask what you can do for Yerushalayim. What you can do for Yerushalayim is you can undergo a process that will ultimately bring about the restoration and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. That's a personal commitment that you have to make, and on a daily basis you should be reminding yourself of that commitment. So that's number five, am I right? Mm-hmm. Then we get to number six, and that's Zechiras Mamad Har Sinai. Right, the Torah says you have to remember on a daily basis that we received the Torah at Har Sinai. First of all, that indicates the great love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our people. God is a Father teaching us Torah, because according to God's own Torah, it says, "V'limanet Moshe Mispenecha," a father has to teach Torah to his son. And all the tovos, all the goodness that we have as a result of God's choosing us as His nation and His sons, is all in the Torah. The Torah itself is that great gift of Tova that God gives us, and He bestows upon us such Kedusha, the Kedusha HaTorah. Ashreinu, we have to have a sense of how fortunate, how lucky we are that we have this Tova, this Bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Then we have a Zechira, that the Torah commands us to remember how our forefathers got Hashem angry back at the time of the Midbar in all sorts of ways they rebelled against God. Again, you have to always understand that rebellion in the case of the Dor HaMidbar has to be understood in relative terms. You know, relative to their greatness, that was the Dor Dea, they should have known better. But what's the purpose of remembering this? That despite the fact that we rebelled time and time again, God still had a sense of tolerance. You know, He was short-winded, He was long-winded instead of being short-winded. Instead of destroying us, God had savlanut. You know, He had patience, and He delayed any sort of harsh punishment because of His love and His compassion for us. So it's really interesting when you think about it that a number of these zechiros are about God's love and compassion for the Jewish people. We started with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Yizkaras Rav Tuvo, so we're remembering God's greatness, God's great gift. Then we went to Zechiras HaShabbos. Once again, Chiba Yisrael Odas Lanu. We have a special Chiba that He gave us the Shabbos. Number three was the man. Okay, the man is a little bit different. There the man is coming to give us a reliance upon Hashem, on a bitachin Hashem. Okay, Amalek is a little different. Zechiras Yishalayim is a little different. But then we get to Zechiras HaMalek. I'm sorry, to Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai, I meant to say. And Zechiras Maimon Maimon Har Sinai is all about the greatest gift that we possibly could receive from Hashem, namely the Torah, His great love and compassion. Then we get to Zechiras Mashiach Tzifa V'Seder, also again to recognize God's Savlanut, the fact that He doesn't punish the people immediately, but rather He waits and He delays punishment out of His love for the people of Israel. So this concept of understanding and appreciating God's goodness appears and reappears over and over again in the Zechiros. Then we have the Zechira of Balak and Bilam. Balak and Bilam looked for ways of destroying our forefathers. Yitein el libo, a person should again consider, by remembering this whole parasha of Balak and Bilam, Das, Laman Das, he should know Tzidkos Hashem, the justice of God, that Bilam and Balak were calculating how to curse the Jewish people, and they really had a power that was built into the way, the natural way God created the world. But what did God do? God personifies Tzedek, justice, and there was no justice in the curses of Balak and Bilam for the people of Israel. The Chavivusei Gabon, and God has a special, we are endeared to God, so out of that sense of beloved, His beloved love for the Klal Yisrael, He's going to undermine the Eitzah of Bilam and Balak, even though they did everything according to the rules, and mechanically, and they engineered it in such a way that they're, that's called a Shazam. You remember that concept that there's, every day there's a moment of Zam.
Yeah.
And that anger is, if they tap into that, it's very dangerous. And they were sorcerers who knew how to tap into that. But nevertheless, Hashem Laman Das Tzidkos Hashem, we have to recognize God's tzedek. Va'kol holech el mokom acher. Interesting, he's not yet finished. Right? He makes a, what we call a sikum beinayim. And before he gets to the last of the schiros, let's just count it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What did I miss? Okay, let's see. Okay, I think I missed one of them. We'll see. He says there are 10. Just give me one more second here. We have Mitzrayim, Shabbos, Man is 3, Mais Hamolek is 4, Zechirus Yerushalayim is 5, Maimon Har Sinai is 6, Mashik Tzifu is 7, and Bolak and Bilam is 8, and he's going to have Miriam. So I'm missing one. We'll see if we can fit it in. He says the following. He says, Hakol, all the Sechira, Holech al Mokam Achim. It really has to bring us to one emotional state. That's the ultimate agenda, the goal. La orer es ha'ava, to arouse our love for Hashem. Ki kein roi li ava l'misha gomel iman tova. The more we recognize the goodness that somebody bestowed upon us, the greater our feeling of ava. U'b'lechteni ba'derech shoveva ahavnu nedova v'hifli chasod avari keitz v'ein tachla. Even when we were a little bit rebellious, that's called derech shoveva. Nevertheless, God loves us, and voluntarily He gives us chasodim, even though we don't deserve it, even though it's endless. And we don't even have at all an ability to recognize even a fraction of what God has given us. I think he's paraphrasing Nishmas. Matovu machazdo imanu. The great Tov and Chesed that God bestowed upon us. But the main thing is we shouldn't be ingrates, which is called Kavod Tov. But rather we are obligated to love God and fear God reciprocally the way He loves us. And the Yisro Kavachom B'as V'dam, if a human being would give us a gift, then if the gift is a great gift, then we certainly would like to appreciate that gift. Correct? If you want, don't mind me passing back this back to...
That's okay.
You don't need it? Okay, if you want it, it's here for you.
Okay.
Come and take it. Okay? So he says that if in a case of a human being who bestows upon you greatness and goodness, you have a tremendous sense of gratitude, how much more so, there's no end, it's infinite, to our obligation to express and feel a gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created us, and He did all these good things for us that we discussed before. Now we're up to number 9. Uzechiras Ma'aseh Miriam HaNeviah. What's the purpose of remembering Miriam on a daily basis? And this is the Aver of Lashon Hara. She was guilty of saying something disparaging about Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe had separated from his wife. And Yikein Eliba, what we should feel when we remember Miriam HaNeviah, Chomer, the severity, Otzem, the power, Vitokef, and the impact, and Godel, and the strength of Avon, the sin called Lashon Hara. It's got a severity, it's got a power, it's unbelievable the power of Lashon Hara. And v'yisur kal v'chom be'benoshel kal v'chom ma'aseh Miriam. In other words, what was Miriam guilty of? Okay, she said a few words about Moshe Rabbeinu that he extended beyond his recall. But for that she got an immediate punishment that was so severe of tzaras. So let's derive from the parasha of Miriam and remember on a daily basis the severity of the Yisur of Lashon Hara. Keep in mind, he's before the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim is going to come later and he's going to dedicate a whole book to Lashon Hara. Shelechol aver shebetorah lo asa kodesh baruch hu zecher. In none of the other sins of the Torah, right, we have 365 losa says, we don't have a daily zechira that we have to remember the severity of any of those sins. The only exception is what?
The Yegel.
It's Lashon Hara. Oh, we'll get to the ego, but again, in terms of the 365 Averos, I mean, we have, for example, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shpichas Domim, and when it comes to Lashon Hara, the Torah says, remember the story of Miriam. It's Afal Pichein, Bavanoseinu Rabbim Kulonu Kitzon Ta'inu V'Kulonu V'Kulam Lashon Hara. The Gemara tells us that everyone is guilty of this Aver of Lashon Hara at some point or another. This is the famous sugya in Erchin that we evaluate the violation of Lashon Hara as if it was more severe than the three cardinal sins. He should be overwhelmed by fear when he remembers the story of Miriam, and that should impact on him that he should avoid opening his mouth when it should be shut. How do we engender those feelings? We need a training, a constant repeat of this message. And how do we accomplish that goal? Through Zechira. By remembering the Mice of Miriam on a daily basis, that's going to impact on us. Yitain Aliba Lavdal Shamra, that will put, we'll make sure our hearts are uplifted to be pure and clean about the way we use our mouth. And therefore, at least at the time that he remembers Mice of Miriam, it's Ma'orer, it arouses him to think about the severity of the Iser of Lashon Hara. And all these zechiros that we have are meant to yitain el libo, to remember what the agenda is, what the purpose of this zechira. He shouldn't do it at perfunctorily and just read off a list of what he has to remember. Yitzis Mitzrayim and Amalek and so forth and so on. And this is true for all mitzvahs of the Torah, that we always have to understand the mitzvah. We have to have the right intention of the mitzvah, not just perform the mitzvah perfunctorily, mechanically. So the only thing that bothers me here is I don't see what Larry was referring to before about remembering the eagle. I don't see it here on his list. Did I skip something? Yeah. Remembering the eagle, the story of the eagle, and that sin, because that would complete the number to 10. I don't know. I don't see it here. Maybe I missed it. Now, at this point, I want to take you back to the other page that I gave you, which is called Zaken. Can you find that?
Yeah.
You found it. Okay. Okay. Now, when he comes to Zaken, he divides up his essay, his presentation, into two parts. One part is about our own lives, meaning each person individually, as he gets older, there's a message, a Musar message, that's going to impact on him if he remembers the concept of Zikna, that he's getting older. And the second part of this essay is about the respect that we have to have for a Zaken. So let's start with the first part. Misha Avru Rov Shnosav Shal Adam. Now, the pasuk in Tehillim, which we recite every Shabbos, seems to indicate that man is granted 70 years. So if man is granted 70 years, then half his life is 35 years. If he's granted 80 years, then half his life is 40 years. So he identifies the average point of leaving this world, I'll say it that way, is at the age of 80. Therefore, Misha Avru Rov Shnosav, when he has behind him most of his years, he Gil Ben Arboim. He's already 40 years old. And now Musa steps in and says, Royal Lizkar Achriso. At this point, he has to remember he's moving, in the opposite direction, towards the end of his life. Ki Holech Ha'odom El Beis Olamo Ubechol Yom Holech V'chasar. He has to realize that he's going to his ultimate repose, to the cemetery, that's where he's going to be buried. And every day he's losing another day of his life. Now, young people aren't aware of that because they think their whole life is in front of them. But when you get to the age of 40 and above, you have to begin to realize that, every day is precious. I remember we made a surprise birthday party for my brother when he was 60. So my nephew, his son, gets up and he says, Abba, you're not over the hill yet, but from where you got to, you have a pretty good view. And in Lo Zocher's Boro, Bimei Bachruso, if during his younger years he was a shovev, he was very wild and rebellious, sowing his, he's youth. Youth is not a time period in which we remember the serious nature of death, but rather we remember the Tanugim, we want to enjoy life, Hevli Olam Hazeh, we get involved in things that are really just temporal, they're down, they're here for the time being, and they go. They're here today, God tomorrow. And therefore, the youth are not they're not always careful about remembering God. Velpol Hashem lo hibit. Eis lechenen al nafsho. But if a person gets to the age of 40 and he's getting older, then this is already the time period lechenen al nafsho that he should be supplicating for his life. And not only that, he should begin to remember God because he's no longer given over to just the pleasures of life. So he should chas al kvod kono. He should already have, so to speak, respect for his maker. Veloshuv midarko ra. He's got to wisen up and get serious now and do tshuva. And he should go down the good path of the tzaddikim. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi describes oili kipon yom. This is part of our slichot for Yom HaKippurim, when the day is leaving, meaning the sun is setting, and the shadows of evening are appearing on the horizon. Now's the time to do tshuva, to, as we said, wisen up and get serious. Ashuv el ishi, I should return to my maker, Yotzri, who created me, and I should give kavod, and I should be able to lift up my head and declare that I am dedicated to serve Hashem. B'terem yavo yimei ra'ah, because if he waits too long and chas v'shalom he falls ill, because old people get ill, he won't be able to do this. He doesn't have the mindset to focus on the kvod shamayim. So therefore, in advance, he should be smart. Right? We say, Eizu chochem ha'ro'as ha'nolad, he should see where things are going. And yomim asher ein li bahem chefetz, I may have time periods in my older age when I'm not happy about what I, my limitations, shelo yuchal asos, I can't do things, I don't have the focus and the power to do tshuva. So you got to grab a hold of yourself before you get to that stage, because when you're getting older, you're getting closer and closer to that stage. Now is the time that he has to make this declaration that I want to fix myself up, I want to improve myself, I want to rectify my evils. Ulai ertzav atakein es movosai b'terem yom mizvosu. Perhaps I will achieve that goal of tikkun and rectify my evils before my last day on this earth. Now at this point, we can fast forward to a paragraph that starts v'chiyuva. Do you have that?
What is it called?
Now, I'm not sure. If you give me your page, mine's a slightly different print. It's called v'chiyuva. You don't have such a paragraph, do you?
Yeah,
it's not...
Opposite, on the reverse side.
Oh, it's on the reverse side? See if you can find it.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
He says the following. This is what I call the second dimension of Zaken, of this overall essay about old age. And now he's talking about our responsibility to respect the elders. And the Medrash says that we learn this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Like, for example, when Avraham Avinu was an elder, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit Avraham Avinu, and he tells Avraham Avinu to remain seated where the Shekhinah is standing over him. The Medrash records that Shlomo was asked the following question, Ezer ben Olam Abba, who deserves to be guaranteed a place in the world to come? And Shlomo Melech's response was, Kol Shekineged Zkein of Kavod, anyone who gives Kavod to the Zekeinim. And this is codified in the Tariq Mitzvahs. One of the Mitzvahs is, V'adarta Pnei Zokein, to stand up and show deference to a Zokein. Now again, he hasn't yet told us who is a Zokein. We're going to discuss that in the next paragraph. But he says that one of the mitzvahs is to stand in front of a zaki, to give kavod to a zaki. Now, how old is a zaki? He says, Afilu mishu yonik v'chachim, he may have wisdom beyond his years. So he's a very young fellow, but he has a tremendous amount of wisdom. And that's called a yonik. Yonik literally means a baby. V'chachim, but he's very brilliant, meaning he has acquired a lot of Torah knowledge. Is yavar es mishu gadol b'menu b'minyan l'mala? You have two people, and the question is, who gets the who do we give respect to? Who goes first? Or if you if you have to decide to whom should you give respect, and there's one fellow who's young, but he's very advanced in his Torah scholar, his Torah scholarship, his knowledge. You have another person who's older, but he doesn't have that Torah knowledge. So in such a case, the Yonik, even though he's young, he's called a Zaken. Like, for example, who is it? Rabbi Lozman Azar, he said, Ani kivim shivim shana, right? He was really a youngster, but he says that I have the knowledge of a 70-year-old, meaning as if I've acquired all that knowledge. He says, Al Yomar, a person shouldn't say to himself, Chachima ano, I'm a very smart guy, V'li roi leshiv l'mala, you know, I deserve all the kavod. Because even if he has acquired knowledge, G'nai ha-davar l'tamid chacham, it's very lowering to his status, to his stature, She'yitol kavod li'atzmo, that he should say, oh, I want to sit up there with all the greats of the generation. He should rather personify and express and exhibit anava, meaning humility. However, l'mechash boy, he should require some sort of respect, because otherwise Shem Yu Maran and Achron, and there might be a Chil Hashem, meaning if he really deserves to be sitting up front and they sit him all the way in the back, that could cause a Chil Hashem. People say, look how they treat a rabbi, look how they treat a scholar. So therefore, although he shouldn't sit all the way up on top, you know, on the bima, but nevertheless he should yeshiv lamata, but he should sit up front in the on the bottom level. The yifritzu bo, and if they beg him and they pressure him, the alu lamala, and they want him to go all the way up on top, then uz alo yale, he should agree to do so. But again, he shouldn't be pushing himself up to the top, but rather he should wait till they want to push him up to the top. Now, in the next paragraph that I have, it says, "V'chein roy lachlo kavul is kainim." You have such a thing? Lito man eitzal kol davar. He says how important it is to go to the elders of the community. Again, you choose your rabbi, but you should ask him, "What should I do in the following dilemma?" And that itself is a matter of, number one, giving him kavod, and number two, getting the right direction from the zakenim. Why do we have such awesome respect for the zakenim? It's because they have the ability, through a combination of abstract wisdom, you know, classroom knowledge, plus experience, to give us the right guidance. And we should take advantage of that opportunity to get the guidance from the zakenim. And now he quotes the Gemara at the end of Masechta Megillah. The Gemara says that sometimes the Zkenim will tell you Listar, and the Na'arim will tell you Livnos. So the Zkenim are encouraging you to slow down, and the Na'arim are saying, go, push forward. Shema Zkenim. You should listen to the advice of the Zkenim. And the Gemara formulates the following principle: Shestiras Zkenim Binyan. That you may think that when the Zkenim tell you to move back, you know, to sort of recede, go backwards and sort of like destroy things, you may think mistakenly that's an act of destruction, but really they are giving you guidance as to how to create and how to move forward. And in the case of the Arim, you know, maybe we'll just close the door if you don't mind. The Arim are telling you to build something, but really it could very well be that building is a stira. And therefore, what do you say? Yichud is in a locked room where no one could come in. This has nothing to do with Yichud. We're in a public area. I don't know, Ross, you've made a few comments on it, so I get a little hints about it. I spent untold months of my life studying Yichud. I've written 3 articles on Yichud. I can promise you there is no violation of Yichud. We're in a perfectly public place. So don't get nervous about Yichud. Okay, then? You want to get nervous about Chol of Akum, not to drink Chol of Akum? Okay, that I can accept. I'm not knocking on Chol of Akum. I rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's good enough for me. But don't get nervous about Yichud. There's no issue of Yichud here. Besides which, even if the door was absolutely locked, there are three men, and that's not Yichud. Okay, but let's go on. The Chain Roy Lachlo Kovel is Kainim Lito Me'en Eitzal Kol Dovar. We should get the eights of the wisdom on everything. I remember that my uncle, may rest in peace, came to the Belzer Rebbe to ask him whether to buy a piece of property. Mm. Now the Belzer Rebbe is sitting here in Yerushalayim. My uncle is living in Flatbush in Brooklyn. He actually lived in Borough Park, but he wanted to buy a building in Flatbush. And he comes to the Belzer Rebbe to ask him whether he should invest or not. It's unbelievable that somebody could be sitting 6,000 miles away, and he's never bought a property in Flatbush, but he knows more about real estate than you and I will ever know. Why? Because he has what's called zikna. He has a certain wisdom that comes with age. And therefore, you have to be very careful, and at every step, if you can, again, it's not always feasible, but to try to get the benefit of the Zekanim, try to get their wise guidance and their insight.
In the case of the Belzer Rebbe, was it his age, or was it his stature as a Rebbe?
And I'm talking about a story that took place probably 25 years ago. I happened to be present when it happened. I almost fell off my seat. And afterwards I said to my Feta, my uncle, he's not alive anymore, I said to him, Feta, why? I mean, you're in real estate, you live in Brooklyn, and you're asking the Belzer Rebbe for an Eitzah. He says, I can promise you the Belzer Rebbe knows more about real estate in Brooklyn than you and I will ever know. And the Belzer Rebbe, by the way, today is not so old. I would say my guess is maybe he's about 70. I don't even think he's 70. But I'm talking about a Maisa 25 years ago. So zikna is something that's granted to a person who has, you know, how many people ask the Belzer Rebbe a question? On a daily basis, who knows how many of his chassidim from all over the world will come to ask him for an eitzah. So he builds up a wealth, a treasury of knowledge and experience. And this is something called Shema Lizkenim, because and again, he may tell you not to invest. But even so, even though he's telling you to slow down, it's actually something that's building something. It's called Stiras Zekanim Binyan. And he says, Yeshivasam Benoach Sicha, you should go into a Zokain, and probably the Zokain is calm, and he'll engage you in calm conversation. He'll ask you questions, and then you have to respect him in the right way. Hazokin Gamkin Yishma Kvodo. It's important that the Zokin get the message that he also has to have a self-respect. V'al yovi atzmo lidei bizoya. He should never do something that might humiliate him, because then it'll lower his vision or his image in the eyes of the people. So lo yaseh ma'isim she'enam noim uzkenim. He shouldn't behave in a childish way. Very often people who are older, you know, they're not shalem, I don't know how to say that in English, they're not comfortable with their age, so they think they're children and they act like children, and then they lose their stature in the eyes of the people. Look at him, he's an older guy and he's acting like a 15 year like a teenager. And we have to be very careful that when we come for an eitz in front of someone who's a zokein, lo yidaber b'makom sheyadei shein dvarim nishmoim. He has to be very careful about what he says. And the Rebbe also, who the Zokin, who's giving him an eitz, has to make sure that he says to him something that can be accepted, can be received. And at the end he quotes a Tanchuma, and with this we'll wrap it up. Shiyavakesh Odom Rachmim al Yimei HaZikna. And a person should already in his youth be supplicating, should be asking God that he should live to an older age, bibari. You know, sometimes old age is not such a great blessing. You know, we call it the golden age, but, you know, if you're not healthy, it's not always, you know, the greatest boon, the greatest gift in the world. So you should already be praying that al tashlichenu liyei zikna. And not only that, he should be naki mimume azkenim. You know, normally zkenim start losing it. And he should ask Hashem, and it's a very heartfelt plea that Hashem should give him that ability to overcome all the ailments of old age, and especially in terms of the way the mind functions. And this ties up with what we discussed before about Zechira, that a person has to remember things, and when he gets old, he starts forgetting things. He has to make sure that he writes himself a reminder. And Gamzosis Palel Biodol Biibo, when he still has the strength, he should already be Mispalel, ask Hashem to give him Siyata Deshmaya, that he should be able to face his old age with the faculties of his mind, with the faculties of his body. The alkol ponim im yeshlo mi mume as kenim shmachbidim al anshei beiso tzorch lesovlom ulenalom benachas ubeder kovod. Notice he's going to begin to find that sometimes in his old age he's a burden on his household, and they become very irritated by his behavior, because he's behaving in a strange way. But he should be very tolerant. He should try to guide them. Benachas ubeder kavod, and he always has to sense an identification, so to speak. He has to feel an empathy with them, because he has to be calm and realize and tolerant that they too are trying to tolerate him. They're trying to deal with him. The kasher osa ken yasalo, if he's tolerant and he is calm with them, and he has patience with them, that's the way they're going to treat him. They will treat him with a sense of calm and respect and patience. I'll call upon him, Hashem is Parkapoli Shangmulo, and God will reward him if he extends all that warmth and respect to his family members. Okay, there I both say that's for Peliotes. If anybody wants to continue with me and learn a little Chumash, we'll try to understand something about Parshas Balos.
1 minute, would you? Gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking us out of Mitzrayim. How can he put us there?
Right. Excellent question. If I throw you into a pit and then I take you out of the pit, do you owe me gratitude when I was the one who threw you into the pit? So if God brought us into Mitzrayim, what kind of gratitude do we owe him for the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim? He took us into Mitzrayim. So I think the most profound answer to your question is that going down to Mitzrayim is for our benefit. As much as we don't appreciate that, you're talking about the most difficult, trying conditions that we lived in for over two centuries, and the subjugation and the killing and everything else. Why is that for our benefit? That's a theological question that's called theodicy that we don't know necessarily the answer to it, but the pasuk says that Mitzrayim is a kura barzel, which means it's a purifying, refining tool which takes out the impurities, and therefore the goalus of Mitzrayim is a great achievement. The Beis Halevi is famous for saying that not only do we thank Hashem for the geula of Mitzrayim, but we have to thank Hashem for the goalus of Mitzrayim. And that's a perception that requires a tremendous amount. So that Hashem brings us into Mitzrayim, and that's for our benefit, and He takes us out of Mitzrayim. That's also, of course, to redeem us from slavery for our benefit. So we have to recognize the great Tova that Hashem bestowed upon us. Okay then, my friends.